Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what I decided to do as this next mini-series is to discuss some of the halachos of Shatnez, in part because I never discussed it, and in part because I'm interested, and years ago, actually, when I first became the rabbi here in the Heights, so Rav Mantel called me on the phone. This like is very rare that Rav Mantel called me. And there was a fellow in the Heights, Berkowitz, who used to check Shatnez. And there was like a whole issue that KHJ wasn't happy with him. I think he subsequently passed away, yes, Mr. Berkowitz. Mr. Berkowitz actually, you could read about him in the book, A Year of Living Biblically. He is the official Shatnez guy who is here in the Heights. So Shatnez like has a warm part, a warm place in my heart because of this. And I want to discuss some of the aspects of Shatnez. What we'll do is we'll have a three-part series about Shatnez. Part one is, what is Shatnez? Part two is, what is considered wearing? And part three is related to checking for Shatnez. That's basically what we'll do. And when we're done, I can't say we'll know everything about Shatnez, but at least we'll know something. Now, the Torah tells us, just about Shatnez. Eschukosai tishmoru. Keep my chukim. Chukim means laws without any easily understood rational basis. And the Torah says, Behem tukalo sarbiya kilayim, you shouldn't breed animals that are Shatnez, or breed animals that are different species together. Sadkalo tizra kilayim, you shouldn't plant your field with kilayim. Ubege kilayim Shatnez lo ya'ala alocha. You should not place on you a garment of sha'atnez, but the same term kil'ayim appears by the animal, and by the field, and by the sha'atnez, and by the garments. Over here, the Torah speaks about the term lo ya'ale olecha. In the next pasuk, the pasuk in Devarim, it says lo tilbash sha'atnez, semo pishtim yachdav. Over there, the Torah says the word lo tilbash, don't wear it. This is what our conversation will be about next week. The prohibition of Shatnez, is it wearing it? Is it just placing it on you? The pasuk after Lo Tilbash Shatnez says, make tzitzis. And this, of course, leads to the famous Gemara at the beginning of Yevamos, where it tells us that tzitzis is going to override the prohibition of Shatnez, and I could technically have a garment that is made of linen and put wool tzitzis on it, and everything is grand. Asei docha lo sasei. So this is the basic thing. Now, just two minor points over here before we'll get into some of the details. What does the word sha'atnez mean? What language is Shatnez? No, it's a loanword
from somewhere else.
Right? So it sounds like it's an imported word. It doesn't resonate. It doesn't sound Hebrew. Reb David Zvi Hoffman writes in his commentary on Chumash that he thinks Shatnez is from some foreign language. He gives like three or four words. Honestly, I can't read the languages that he was including over there, so I don't know what he's talking about. But there are various foreign languages that have terms that sound like Shatnez. But one thing I know, and when it comes to defining words, when you don't know what the word means, is that often the text defines it for you. So in the second pasuk, lo tilbash sha'atnez, tzemer pishtim yachdav. Sha'atnez means wool and linen that are together. Right? Which means that there's a term sha'atnez, and that's defined as wool and linen. Now, why is Shatnez forbidden? Says it says so, right? So Caroline is like very straightforward.
Well, it's a
cloak. There's no real reason. So here's the thing. Chukim the term chuk does not mean that there is no reason. The term chuk means that the reason is not so easy to understand, or alternatively, the real reason might be beyond us. But there are some lessons, some themes, some morals that come from a chok. Even Para Aduma, about which Shlomo HaMelech said, Amarti Achakam Abihi Rechoka Mimeni, that he never understood Para Aduma. But if you look at the Mefarshim, the Kli Yoker, being in Parshas Chukas, goes into some lessons that Para Aduma also can give for us. So there is everything on some level is a chok. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Remember Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, when I was a student at YU, once came to YU and he gave a shiur in the Beis Medrash before Pesach about Zos Chukas HaTorah and how it's important for Yeshiva University students to realize that all of Torah has to be a chuk on some level, and there are things that we cannot understand as much as we try to understand it. Everything remains a chuk. That was his theme then. But at the same time, the opposite is that even those things which are chukim are not fully chuk, and we try to come up with reasons. Right? Those are two sides of the same coin. Danny?
Are there any examples of chumash of loan words from another language?
Totafos.
Oh, yeah.
What does it say about the age of the antiquity of Torah? If we're borrowing words.
Okay, so here's the thing. Hashem wrote all of Torah, but he had in mind, Hashem had in mind, when he's writing Torah, future readers of the text. So he's taking into account the fact that there are going to be other readers, and for some reason there was no real Hebrew word that Hashem decided to use to convey Shatnez or Totafos, or one of the fellows from Shul, I have to remember her name, like 2 weeks ago when we read about Tefillin in the Torah, so she wrote the piece on the back of the Kesher, the Dvar Torah. So she wrote something that she heard from her grandfather, the Torah uses a foreign term for tefillin, because sometimes people would think that maybe the mitzvah only applies in Israel, maybe the mitzvah only applies in normal Jewish communities, right? But we take terms that come from Katfi and Afriki, these like Afriki, like, sounds like such an insult. No, right? It comes from Katfi and Afriki. It comes like these languages that are like so far off to show us that you have to wear tefillin no matter where you are. And maybe Shatnez is the same type of idea. I don't know, but it seems to be Kimin Hamayim Mishisihu is a foreign term. Right? It's like some Egyptian word that ends up like incorporated in Chumash. There are other languages that have words that are incorporated in Chumash, right? What can we do? So what are the reasons for Shatnez? Let's just go very quickly. Lotoba Shatnez, the Balei HaTosfos in Chumash. Lafish HaParochas Nase Mishesh, Mishesh Kitna, Umitzcheles, Utzcheles Imra. The Paroches in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan, was made from Shesh, which is linen, and Tcheles, which is wool. Haret Zimro Pishtim Yachta, Velo Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyasu Bonav Dugmaso, Kimoshe Matzinu B'Ketores Isha Sheyasa Kamoha Lahariach Ba. V'chein Amru Chazal Lo Yasu Adam Ba'yis Tavnes Heichach Sadra Tavnes Ulam. Beautiful idea, right? Shatnez is found in the Mishkan as the paroches, as the divider between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim. There's wool and linen in that. Hashem says, I don't want you to make anything that is similar to that Mishkan. Don't build a building that's like the Beis HaMikdash. Don't make a menorah like the menorah. Even though the menorah says that we have in the shul on the walls have seven prongs. No, you ever notice that?
Yeah.
But that's probably not proper. No one asked before my time. But don't do stuff that is similar to what happens in the Mikdash. And therefore, Shatnez is a way of staying away from higher levels of Kedusha. If this is the Pshat, I saw in one of the Shatnez books I took out, we can understand why, for example, there's other cases of Shatnez. The garments that the Kohanim wore in the Mikdash were specifically Shatnez. No? Tzitzis is made, can be made from Shatnez. The idea basically is, according to this explanation, that mitzvah, Kedusha things are separate from mundane things. And you have to draw that line that, again, it's not the complete meaning of Shatnez. Obviously, it's a chok, but that's one of the approaches. Davar Acher says the Balei HaTosfos, another explanation. Lefi Shekrev Kayin Zera Pishtan, the Hevel Hevi Mi Bechoros Tzono, Shehu Min Semer, Loretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyiskabru Yachtov, Lefi Shelasham Nechlaku. Kayin and Hevel, that's like the first real division in human history. So Kayin brings his carbon, right? Pishtan, flax, linen. Hevel brings sheep. Sheep is wool. Right? Hashem is saying with the Mitzvah Shatnez, you know what? when the wool and the linen came together with Cain and Hebel, bad things happen. Stay away. Right? There's a
certain... But also make the Mishkan.
It also makes it.
No, but I will tell you what that means. On some level, the Mishkan is an opportunity to return to Eden before the sin.
The higher level of Kedusha in the Mishkan, when the Kohanim wear their begadim, right, symbolically, again, if I would be a rabbi, I would make these types of drashos, and they're not so bad. Right? That's the basic lesson that the Balei HaTosfos have. The Ramban quotes two other reasons. One reason is L'harchik HaTarovis B'minon, V'asar Harigilim lehe osos mehen beged. The Ramban says basically that Hashem doesn't like mixtures, right? And in context, the word kilayim means animals shouldn't mix. The word kilayim means don't mix seeds, etc. And there are mixtures in the sense of the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. Hashem wants to maintain separately for some reason.
No hybrids.
What? No hybrids. And Shatnez represents the type of hybrid. The Rambam gives a rational reason. The Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim that the reason for Shatnez is that the priests who did a certain type of kishuf, did certain magic, they would wear Shatnez. Okay, got it, whatever. That's what the Rambam says. Again, obviously, the Rambam's understanding that there's like a certain projection into the future when... Okay, fine. So we have a number of reasons for the prohibition of Shatnez. Now let's begin learning Halacha. It says, this is the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Kilayim. By the way, everything that we are studying is in the ninth parak of Kilayim. What is Shatnez? Let's say I buy a hat that has rabbit fur, no? Many of the hats that you buy, the fedoras, are made with rabbit fur. Is there a Shatnez? You have to check your fedora for Shatnez. Let's say, what?
We're in the hat
is a rabbit. Oh, it's like no, the entire felt. The felt hat comes from rabbit fur.
Sometimes.
The borsa-
yeah, I found this out like a couple of months ago.
Yeah. The Borsellino hats, which are like basically no longer made in Italy, they're like only made in Israel, but the they come from rabbit fur. Is there Shatnez in rabbit fur?
Since when?
So it's not wool. But it's fur.
What are the chances there would be both wool and linen in rabbit fur?
You know what?
I doubt it.
So linen is often used as a stiffener. Right? In men's suits, for example, the place where you're most likely to find Shatnez is in the collar. You can see actually over here, they rip the collar open to feel inside to see if there's a stiffener. Right? That's how you check for Shatnez. You can imagine there's a stiffener in hats. On some level, anything that has a stiffener, the stiffener could come from linen. Linen, until it gets moist and wet, is a very hard, firm substance. Is there Shatnez from rabbit fur? Is there Shatnez from alpaca fur? Okay? What? Llamas. Camels. What is Shatnez? Says Shulchan Aruch. What is wool? Ein osim mishum kelayim elat semer rechelim ve'elim in Pishtun. The only thing that Shatnez is wool from sheep and male sheep and female sheep. And in Pishtun with linen. But semer gemalim, semer anovim, benutza shel izim. If you have goat skins and you have semer anovim is rabbit, right? Semer gemalim is from camels, is permitted with Pishtun. This is actually important. The most expensive suits you could ever buy on this planet is something called vicuna.
Oh, yeah.
Vicuna stuff is like, it's worth its weight in gold, seriously.
What? What is it? Oh, it
so here, vicuna is very rarely spelled whatever. It is actually the name, is one of two wild South American camelids which live in the high alpine areas of the Andes. The other being the whatever. It is a relative of the llama. It is now believed to be the wild ancestor of the alpacas, which are raised to their coats. Vicuna produces small amounts of extremely fine wool, which is very expensive because the animal can only be shorn every 3 years. This is right, like the top of the line wool. You want to get a vicuna suit, right? But by the way, your wedding suit, probably don't ask for a vicuna suit because, you know, it could bankrupt people, Right? Not such a good idea, but it's supposed to be good stuff. No problem, the shot is. Right? No problem, because it's camel.
Sanctuary law.
What?
Did anybody ever hear of sanctuary law?
Not so much. So the basic point is that shatnez has to come from wool from sheep, shepselah, right? And if you have synthetic materials, cotton, right, all of these things cannot possibly create shatnez. It's only wool and linen. End of conversation, right? That's relatively easy. There is a bit of a discussion. Let's say you have Rochel Bas Eiz. Right? Let's say you have a goat that gives birth to a sheep. Does this ever happen?
Oh, come on. Only in the Gemara.
I don't think so. I think it actually does happen at some point. These animals do interbreed. So, okay, fine. There's a discussion also. There's certain products, the Gemara says, that look like wool.
Wait, if a goat gives birth to a sheep, wouldn't that be
so
a
it's,
problem?
So it's also because of Maris Ayin. It looks like a sheep. Halachically, it's not a full sheep because it comes from a goat. So therefore, it is Maris Ayin of Shatnez. There are other types.
No, but also, like, it would be that, like, a hybrid animal.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't that be a problem? Again,
I'm not allowed to do it.
Right,
right?
Oh, okay.
But let's say it happened in the wild.
Can I make a garment from the...
Can I make a garment from that wool? So it says you're not allowed to because of Maris Ayin, because it looks like regular wool. There are lots of prohibitions of shatnez because of Maris Ayin.
No, I mean, could you make just, like forget linen. Could you just make a regular wool garment from it because it's kalayim?
No, so the issur of kalayim by animals is I can't breed them together. But the result of it, I'm allowed to use.
Oh, okay.
Right? I might even be allowed. For example, am I allowed to eat a grapefruit?
If a non-Jew, if a Jew grafted it, would you be able to?
You're allowed to eat a grapefruit.
Oh,
you're not allowed to graft it. Right? This is breakfast. Right? I just saved it. Right? By the way, it's a good breakfast. Grapefruit and a yogurt. Okay. But
scrambled eggs. Sorry.
Maybe. But the point, you see, scrambling eggs takes time. A grapefruit you could eat much, like, just easier to make. You're allowed to get benefit from kelayim. You just can't. The only type of kelayim you can't get benefit from is kelei hakerem. If I have grapes that grow in the same field as wheat, then it becomes aser b'hanu'ah. That's the pasuk that says pen tikdash hamle'ah. So the word tikdash means tukad eish. That becomes forbidden to get any benefit from.
What's
but all other types of kalayim you can get benefit from.
What's the problem with grapes in the field?
Grapefruits. Grapefruits are...
No, that's not grapes in the field. Like grapes.
Oh, grapes. To grow grapes in the same area as wheat is a type of kalayim that becomes aser b'hanu'ah. It's like the most severe type of interbreeding of species.
When you say grapefruits, there's no such thing as a grapefruit tree.
Every grapefruit, there are things of grapefruit trees, but the way they originally got grapefruits is from grafting oranges with like some lemons or something. Every citrus fruit on the planet has to be grafted. Citrus fruits are very weak. Citrus trees are very weak. Actually, this summer, we were in California, so we were staying in this house that my brother-in-law found for us like for a few days, like a block away. And the house is on Detroit Street, if this helps you. My kids are outside of the house one day, and they look up at the tree, and like, this is really weird. The same tree had kumquats and grapefruits coming out of it. You can have that. When you graft, it's actually kind of cool. It's absolutely forbidden to play this stunt, but it's kind of cool. Okay, now let's just go on. So there are types of garments that are shatnez midrabbanon based on Maris Ayin. They look like shatnez. Rochel Bas Eiz, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is it looks like shatnez, it looks like wool, but it isn't. There are other things, there are types of silk that the Gemara says you're not allowed to make silk with linen because silk looked like wool. Now, when did silk look like wool? I have no idea. Here. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch. Bachachom here. V'chein canvas, v'tzemer gefen. Canvas is, it's a cannabis, actually. And and semer gefen and cotton.
Okay.
Right? V'chol sha'ar minim mutarim afilo bit semer rechelim ve'elam. V'chachomim osru mipnei maris ayin meshi im semer. The rabbi said that because of maris ayin, you can't have silk with wool. Lefisha dome, you can't have silk with wool. Lefisha dome lepishtim, because silk looks like linen. Now, silk looks like linen. I have no idea, but apparently silk looks like linen, right? V'chein kelech is a type of thing that grows in the sea. It looks like wool, and it's based on maris ayin. It's forbidden. But says to the Ramah, v'idna meshi matzli beinenu v'hakoma kirimbo. So silk, right, according to the din in the Gemara, was forbidden together with linen, together with wool, excuse me. But today it's permitted because everybody knows that it's silk. Maris ayin is an interesting type of halacha because maris ayin depends on what everybody knows. Right. Let's say I'm eating a fleishik meal. At the end of the fleishik meal, am I allowed to have coffee with creamer? Right. It's not dairy, non-dairy creamer. Right. Is that permitted? Am I allowed to have pariv ice cream?
Now it is.
Right. Am I? Is it permitted? Am I allowed to have it's not crab, it's not shrimp? So it would seem to me that besides the fact that it's not crab and it's not shrimp is like totally disgusting, but besides that, I would argue that dairy creamer is permitted.
Because you mean non-dairy creamer.
thank you. Non-dairy creamer is permitted. And a pair of ice cream is permitted because those are standard things.
Now
it's pretty common. It's not shrimp and it's not crab. I don't think is a standard food item. It's a food item that's created for frumies who want to have something that looks like shrimp or crab.
But how do they know whether it tastes like that?
Haven't
it
got
doesn't.
A bag, you say? Right? But I don't... The basic halacha is that there's no maris ayin on something that is nafutz. Something that is widespread, there's no maris ayin. For example, am I allowed to drink red wine? I asked this to my kids at a Shabbos meal a couple weeks ago. Doesn't red wine look like blood?
Oh, God.
You ever thought about that one?
No, I thought about it when they said you, in some places in God-awful times, you could drink white wine at the Seder.
Right. Understood. But red wine can look like blood. If red wine could look like blood, how come I'm allowed to drink red wine? The answer is everybody knows it's red wine. Right? Everybody knows that it's a standard thing. And that is the same idea that like the silk with linen, because everybody knows that it's silk, right? Or everybody knows that's a common thing, so therefore there's no maris ayin. We solve maris ayin issues when everybody knows. That's the first point. There's a discussion here in the Pesachei Tshuva about how can that happen. We have a rule in Halacha of Dover Shebeminyan, Sarf Minyan Acher LaHatiro, that you can't get rid of an enactment of a previous generation unless you are greater than that previous generation, and everybody knows that, like, you're not going to be greater. So, like, how can we ever get rid of these prohibitions? If these prohibitions are in the Gemara? So that's a very good question. The Pesachei Tshuva is bothered by that question. The answer probably is something along the lines that it wasn't really a prohibition. It was based on some concern that they had, and everybody knew the reason behind it, and therefore we could get rid of it, but it's not at all simple how we solve that question. Next. The word sha'atnez is understood by the Midrash Halacha, by the Sifrei, to come from three words. Sha'atnez is sho'ah, tavoy, and nuz. Sho'ah, tavoy, and nuz. Shin ayin, sho'ah, tes is tavoy, and then nuz. Now, what do these terms mean? Sho'ah, tavoy, and nuz. So, it means there are different processes involved in making wool and linen. The first thing that's involved is you have to comb them. Both wool and linen have certain impurities. The wool, even after you bleach the animal and you give the animal a lot of baths, there's going to be a lot of junk inside the wool of the animal. So you have like these big metal combs and you comb the wool. You get rid of the impurities. Part of that combing process also is that you straighten it out a bit, because the wool is naturally very curly. No? You saw a sheep? It doesn't look anything like your shirt, right? What happened? Right? First you have to comb it out. And right? And then that is the sho'ah process, that you comb it out. The tavui process is that you take it and you make it into threads. Now a thread is a very thin strand of, right? And this happens both with wool and linen. You have to do these two processes. You comb it, right? With the linen also, there's like impurities because it's a plant and you have to get rid of the junky plant matter. You comb it and then you make it into like some threads. And the word nuz is a hard word to understand. Shoah and Tavoy is easier. The word nuz is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosis, what it means. Rashi says nuz means a rug. It's woven together. In other words, according to Rashi, it's only shatnez min haTorah if you have all three processes, shoah, tavoy, and nuz, and all three processes you were doing wool and linen together. Which means when I take that comb and I am cleaning it off, I'm cleaning off the wool and the linen together. Right? And then when I make the threads, I'm making the threads together. And then when I weave it, I'm weaving it together. So according to Rashi, Sha'atnez basically means that I end up with threads of both wool and linen, and I use those wool and linen threads to weave a garment. That's Rashi's understanding of Sha'atnez, min haTorah. If I have just a thread of wool and a thread of linen I weave with it, according to Rashi, that's Sha'atnez min derabbanan. Right? To be Sha'atnez min haTorah, I need a thread of wool and linen together. That's Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosis says that, what do you mean? Of course weaving is involved in making a garment. There's nothing to talk about. And Tosis asks a question that according to Rashi, here, Pirish Rashi, here Tosis on the bottom of, Tosis on the side, the second side of the page. Pirish Rashi, Targum Shel Chalak Yishe'iyah, Shechoken Oso Yachah B'masrek. You make it, Chalak is smooth, you use a fork, v'tavi yachad, and then you make the threads together. V'nuz means arug. Right? Nuz means it's woven. V'rabbanan gazru ba'arug below shoa v'tavoy. And it's midrabbanan, it's usur, if it's just woven together, even though it was not combed together, and it was not made to thread together. So Tosis asks a question, v'kosha d'imken kil'ayim b'tzitzis heichi mishkachasla. Right? Shatnez over tzitzis overrides the prohibition of shatnez. Now, what's tzitzis and shatnez? You have a garment, let's say, of linen, then you attach wool strings to it. That's tzitzis. According to Rashi, that's only going to be rabbinic, because it's only d'oraisa if I have the wool and the linen together. So Tosis asks, so how do you have shatnez? Therefore, Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam, four lines from now, that Rabbeinu Tam says that sha'atnez, the word nuz, means that you make a string together. There's a difference between thread and string. Thread is very, very tiny, very thin. String is, I take a bunch of threads and I wind them together and I make a string. According to Tosfos, sha'atnez means that you have wool and linen. Each of them separately is combed. Each of them separately is made into thread. And each of them separately is then made into string. And then you put them together. That's shatnez. Okay? That's Tosis' understanding of shatnez de oraisa. The Rambam, however, has a totally different understanding of shatnez de oraisa. For the Rambam, you don't need to go through all the processes of combing and of twining. All you need is an attachment of wool and linen. That's shatnez according to the Rambam. The Rambam says if they are just attached, that is shatnez. End of conversation. Now for the Rambam, the tzitzis case is the easiest to understand because you attach it together. But there's a number of amazing things that emerge for this Rambam. Ready? Let's say I have a, you know, In certain communities, they have like the Kol HaNa'arim Talis, which is like the size of, I don't know, Australia, right? So it's like this really gigantic talus. And let's say I have one string of wool on this side, and one string of linen. It's a talus made out of polyester. One string of wool on that side, one string of linen on this side. Is that Shabbos? The Rambam says, absolutely. For the Rambam, there is Shatnez d'oraisa, if I have a garment that contains wool and linen. According to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, it's only Shatnez d'oraisa if in the making of the garment, I am mixing wool and linen, that they are near each other. Right? That is the way the Rashi and Tosis learn. Now, what this means is, for the Rambam, for example, right here, Simen Reish Tzadi Tessa If Beis, right, we're just, you know, I'll do one more Rambam before I go over there. The Rambam Perek Yud of Eidus, Halacha Gimel. Okay, the halacha is that there are certain people on this planet who are ineligible to testify in a Jewish court. Certain people are Pasul Eidus. To be Pasul Eidus, you have to do an Aveira. Right? You have to do... What? A woman, the Nesivus writes, is not Pasul Eidus. A woman is not an aid at all. The Nesivus actually distinguishes between two categories in Halacha. Between Pasul Eidus and not being an aid at all. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you have two people who see Reuven kill Shimon. Right? So, two men see Reuven kill Shimon. So you can, right, put Reuven to death for that, because there are two Aden. Let's say there are three people at the window, see Reuven kill Shimon, and of those three people, one of them is a, I don't know, the guy robbed a bank, right? So three people see it. So Reuven gets off the hook, because it's not kosher Eidos, because the group is three, and that group includes one Pasul Eid. That's the halacha, nimtza echamei and karev upasul edusim b'teila. Okay, let's say three people warn it. Okay, according to some, it depends on if you see. Now, it depends on your warn. Three people warn, one of them is puzzle. But let's say you have two men and one woman, and they all scream out, "Hey, Reuven, don't shoot him!" Right? So in that case, it's not the rule of nimsa echakara for puzzle, I do some betela. Women are not puzzle edus. Women are halakhically not in the category of Edom. There is a fundamental difference according to that in Sefas. Frida, now
you're talking about the women. This is worse than the women. What do you mean if two kosher witnesses see the guy and warn the guy, and there's somebody else who the guy gets off the hook, you can't.
Let's say all three people scream out, right? There are three people out of the window, and they see Reuven has a gun. They scream out, "Don't shoot! If you shoot, you're gonna..." And one of those people is Pasul Le'edus, you get off the hook.
He's got two.
It don't matter. Because, again, so the halacha basically is not meant to be a functional system.
Wow, good.
Is that a good thing? Really? It's like, no, the hecky. Schwartz, get with the program. It don't work. Correct. The halakhic system, this is one of the most fortunate things, the halakhic system is not supposed to work. That's why we have...
Are you sure you want this on the recording?
I'm fine with it. Right? We have lots of extra legal systems.
Come on, are you fine with that?
No.
Well, on some level.
So again, let's just get back to what we're saying. So there are Pasul witnesses. Who are Pasul witnesses? So the halacha, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Eidos, Ova Aveira Shechayovin Olav Malkus Minatora, Hareza Pasul Minatora. Let's say that I do an Aveira, for which I would get lashes on Pasul. If I eat blood, I drink blood, so I can't be a witness. I'll be halacha. Right? Im Hayachiyav Sheba Midivreihem, I Pasul Midivreihem. Right? If I violate a rabbinic thing, so Min Hatar, I'm a good witness. Rabbinically, I'm not. Ketzad, achal basar behema b'cholav. I eat animal meat in milk. Osha achal neveas rishkasim kotsa behen. Ben l'teyavim ben l'haches. If I eat treif animals, treif food, whether I do it because I have a desire, whether I do it because I'm trying to get God angry, osha chilas yontif arishon, or I violate yontif, osha lava shatnez, shehu, Shoah, Otavoy, Onos. The Rambam says that Shatn is if it's either Shoah or Tavoy or Nuz. You don't need all of them.
But doesn't
the Rambam
imply, like, are they dependent on one another?
So the word Shatnez means, according to the Rambam, either Shoah or Tavoy or Nuz.
Wait,
so
if you take either, like, if you make the
if it's woven together,
then it will be also.
So if I have threads together, it's Shatnez.
Right.
But obviously, I can't violate it until I wear it. Or until it becomes a garment of some sort. But according to the Rambam, any time I have an attachment of wool and linen on the garment, that is shatnez d'oraisa. Right? Even if one is over here, one is over there, that's shatnez min haTorah, according to the Rambam. Okay. However, Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. In Reish Tzadi Tes Se'if Beis, Ha'osa beged kulo tzemer gemalim o arnovim o canvas. If I make a garment, that's all vaikuna. Ve'arag bo chutshal tzemer mitzad zeh, v'chutshal pishta mitzad zeh, hareza asur mikshum kilayim. That's the Rambam's position. V'yeshomrim d'shari kahaygavna. Some assume that it's permitted in that case. The minhag has always been to be lenient on this type of question. Let's say, for example, I have a belt, and the belt is leather, and has a little bit of wool on one side, a little bit of linen on the other side. The minhag of Jews for many hundreds of years was to wear this type of belt. I never saw one. I don't know what it looks like exactly. But if the belt is tied by the wool and linen together, so the wool and linen come together, they touch each other, so then that would be a mishatnez that we assume is forbidden. Basically, the Rambam and the other Rishonim are disagreeing about how I define shatnez. For the Rambam, shatnez means any union of wool and linen, even if they're not touching. If I have a garment that contains wool and linen, shatnez. But according to everybody else, shatnez means that the wool and the linen have to be in proximity. Rashi says it has to be in such close proximity that you have a thread of both wool and linen. According to the Tosfos, even if I have one thread of wool, one thread of linen, they touch, that is shatnez also, but they have to touch.
Now, when I buy a new suit, I have to have it shatnez check, right? Why don't we say in every case like that, the Sfex Fake, is it connected? First of all, is there wool and linen? Yeah. And if there is it woven together in such a way.
So let's talk about that for a second. The basic idea is that we can't apply principles of Sfex Feka is basically a halakhic way of saying it ain't likely. But if something is verifiable, I have to try to verify it. Now, we'll talk about this when we speak about checking shatnez. I only have to verify it if there's somewhat of a significant likelihood. Or maybe I'll phrase it differently, if it's not a completely insignificant likelihood. Anything on this world could have shatnez, no? There could be a thread of linen in, anything. It could theoretically become shatnez. But I only have to check if it's somewhat likely or not completely unlikely. We'll have to discuss what that means. But just to say it's a Sfex Feka, they used to joke around in Brisk. I used to tell this joke to Dr. Rieger all the time. Now, any Shiloh that came up in Brisk, they had a kula. They said, everything is mutter. Because I have a Sfex Feka. Maybe the halacha is it's mutter, maybe the halacha is usser. And even if the halacha is it's usser, maybe Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, the Brisker Dayan, Dr. Rieger's grandfather, would have a kula. Because he was known as being the biggest makel in all of Europe. Right, so everything in Brisk used to say was a Sfex Feka. It doesn't really.
I'm not sure that's Faker.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it's. I'm sure there was more to the gentleman than being the biggest maker.
I don't know. I mean, that's like the funny joke. Again, it probably means that he wasn't the biggest maker, but like when you live in a town with Reb Chaim, so you consider the biggest maker just. Okay, that's what I'll say, but. There are a number of other applications of this dispute between the Rambam and the rest of the world. They disagree about how you read a Gemara. The Gemara says that Shatnez is only all of them, Shoah, Tavoy, and those. And the way we have the Gemara, there's a last line in the Gemara, Behilchasa, Kemar Zutra. The last line in the Gemara says that the halacha is like Mar Zutra, that you need all three Shoah, Tavli, and Uz. The Rambam does not have that line, Hilchasa. Now, for the Talmud scholars among us, almost all the Behilchasas in Shas are not part of Gemara. Almost all the Behilchasas in Shas were things that were added by the Rabbanan Savuroi, who were like the editors of the Gemara. I'm assuming that the Gemara, let's say, is completed in the year 400, right? So between like 400 and 650, there is this generation of Rabbanan Savuroi. We have no idea who they were. We don't know their names or anything. The Gaonic period began around the year 650. So between 400 and 650, you have these people whose job is to edit the Gemara. And they tried to make the Gemara into a halachic text, and they added the words Vehilchasa. Most often, and by the way, this isn't just like modern Talmud scholarship, the Bali HaTaisis point this out in like Kedushin Nun Beis and elsewhere, that most often the word Vehilchasa is post-Talmudic, and that's what the Rambam is saying over here. The Rambam holds that to be Shatnez, you don't need all three processes. If you just have one of the processes, if it's just somehow attached at all, for the Rambam, that is enough to be Shatnez, even though they were entwined together, etc., even though it's just a thread. It's not even a string for the Rambam, it could still be Shatnez min HaTorah. For the Rambam, there's almost nothing in the world that Shatnez min Rabbanan, with the exception of the Marasayan stuff. For everybody else, it's Shatnez min Rabbanan. Let's say I didn't like twine it together, or whatever, right? That could be Shatnez min Rabbanan. For the Rambam, almost nothing is Shatnez min Rabbanan, because the Rambam paskins Shoah o Tavoy o Noz. Basically, we discussed what it takes to be Shatnez. Next week, we'll talk about what it means to wear Shatnez. Can I have a Shatnez blanket? Can I have a Shatnez tie? I'll just tell one story to pique your curiosity. When I was in L.A. this summer, talking about L.A., so one Shabbos, I davened in the Young Israel of Hancock Park. Some guy walks over to me after davening. He says, I've never did this to anyone before. I'm like getting worried. Maybe I should duck. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
He says, do you ever think that your tie might be Shatnez? So I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? So he's like, I had the same tie, and they found out, they told me that it was Shatnez. So I'm like,
wow.
Like, totally random. Like, this guy, I have no idea who he is, just comes over to tell me. So we have to discuss next week whether ties can be an issue of Shatnez.
I mean, apparently they can.
Well, that's what that guy said.
But the
liner.
Do ties, okay.
No, the liner.
What?
I mean, they do make
so the liner of my jacket is part of a real garment. Is a tie a real garment?
Well, but you're wearing it.
What's considered wearing? Are eyeglasses? Could I have Shatnez eyeglasses?
For Shabbos carrying purposes, I'm wearing them. However.
So we'll have to discuss these topics next week. Thank you all for coming and listening. Have a good night.